Grieving for lost loved ones is hard enough during the holidays. The COVID-19 pandemic compounds that difficulty.
I am concerned, for people, especially this year, as we continue to go through this as a nation.
That's Dr. Ted Bender, president of Unity Place. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
Today is Tuesday, November 10th, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. As the unemployment rate has increased substantially during this pandemic, so has unemployment fraud. More people are unknowingly giving away their personal information to scammers. WCBU student reporter Olivia Streeter explains the risks and how to protect yourself.
Jessica Tharp is president and CEO of the Central Illinois Better Business Bureau. Tharp says unemployment fraud is soaring right now because there are so many people looking for jobs.
Job applications or employment scams in general were our number one scam of last year, and they continue to be a primary scam today because there are so many people out of work. They are looking for opportunities and they're finding these pitfalls of fake jobs and fake interviews.
She says scam artists are targeting people in states with high unemployment, like Illinois.
These scam artists are looking for opportunities where states are overwhelmed with unemployment, and they know that it's going to take some time for people to catch on and figure out where they're operating from. But it all comes down to being educated on what's going on and how to report these types of scams.
And while individuals are at risk for unemployment fraud, so are businesses.
Early on in the pandemic, the Better Business Bureau noticed a spike in unemployment fraud claims to consumers. They would get solicitations for you might be eligible for benefits. Today, what we're seeing are those fraudulent unemployment claims coming in against the businesses.
Tharp says that the key to preventing unemployment fraud is for businesses to educate their employees and HR departments on possible scams, and for individuals to only share personal information with trusted sources. For more information, visit WCBU.org. I'm Olivia Streeter.
Here are some of the stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom. The state of Illinois is reporting more than 10,500 new COVID-19 cases and 14 more deaths statewide in the past 24 hours. The state has a 12.4% positivity rate. The Illinois State Police is investigating a Mason County shooting involving a San Jose police officer. The subject suffered non-life-threatening injuries. And though the weather is sunny, Peoria Public Works is reminding motorists to get prepared for wintry weather now, not later. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. The COVID-19 pandemic is forcing families to face new losses and separations from loved ones this Thanksgiving. Tim Shelley spoke with Dr. Ted Bender, president of Unity Place, about how to cope with that grief this holiday season.
Grief during the holidays is especially prominent for people who have lost loved ones, and this year certainly will be an exacerbation of that. As you know, 240,000 Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19, and that's a tremendous amount of empty seats around the table during this holiday season. So as joyous and happy as holidays can be, it can also be a really a strong time of pain, sadness, and anger, which I imagine will be amplified this year due to how many people we've lost. People experience these emotions in waves often, and it creates a lot of chronic stress, which can lead to physical concerns as well, like trouble sleeping, changes in appetite, tiredness, fatigue, general aches and pains. So I am concerned, for people, especially this year, as we continue to go through this as a nation.
Oftentimes there's reference to these different stages of grief. I know there's like those five traditional stages. Is that how people really grieve, or should we look at it a different way?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the stages of grief, They do come, not always in a specific order. People sometimes go through one stage and go back to the previous stage. And really, grief is often very unique to the individual. But there are things to do that you can do to help to mitigate it. And I think the most important thing to remember, and a lot of people mistake this too, grief is a natural human process. It's not major depressive disorder or a mental health disorder. Grief does not need to be treated like it is a mental health disorder. Now, certainly support groups and therapy can help work through some of the pain and the issues that people are going through, but grief is not a mental illness. I think that's important for, you know, listeners to understand. It is a natural human process, and it's what allows us to move forward from that loss.
How do I talk to my kids about this if we have lost a loved one to COVID-19 or another potential cause, or if we're going to be separated from a loved one this year, maybe for the first time during the holidays? How can I start that conversation with my children?
I think that's a great question. I think the first thing you got to think about is the age of the children. You know, if they're very little, you want to, you know, obviously guard the type of information that you're portraying to them, especially with, you know, the dangers of the disease and loss. But if your children are, you know, able to grasp what's happening, and if they're in school, they know what's going on. I mean, they're masked, they're so socially distanced, they have a feel of what's happening. I can tell you again, I think just from my own experience, I mean, as a psychologist, I've been very worried about my children's mental health throughout all of this. And my strategy has been to significantly limit their exposure to the 24-hour news cycle on COVID-19, because that was not doing them any good, especially when I myself was watching it constantly in early March. I could see the fear and anxiety creeping up in them, even though they weren't watching it directly. They just kind of heard it on all the time. Once I noticed that, I shut it down. And the second thing is, again, they know that something's happening. They know the word coronavirus. They know COVID-19. If they're 4 years old, at least, they probably know those terms by now. And my strategy has just been to be very honest with them. I told them that, you know, we don't have to live in fear, but we do have to be careful. I'm teaching them, and they've learned very well the positive measures to maintain safety. And I've also taken as much time as I can with them to just ask them how they're feeling, ask them if they're worried or concerned, and spend some time just talking to them and trying to, you know, to get them to open up emotionally about how they're feeling, although that's not the easiest thing with kids, and especially teens.
That was Tim Shelley's discussion with Dr. Ted Bender of Unity Place. For more of their conversation, go to WCBU.org. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.